Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Molly.
And I'm Pete.
And we're back by popular demand.
Is it by popular demand?
We've had some requests to come back.
And by some, you mean one?
I've had a couple.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we're doing this for two people.
You've had one, so that's three. We've had some technical difficulties, and this may not even sound good.
That's true.
There's been a lot of check one, two. Frantic check one twos back and forth in these different microphones.
Well, we started watching the holiday movies around Halloween.
Yeah, listen, yeah, like day one
when they kicked off, and a few weeks later we got all set up to record. And yeah, there was something wrong with the recorder that I couldn't figure out what was wrong. So I took it into our crack engineering staff at WGN Radio. They used the power of WGN Radio to get this on. My good friend Bob Ferguson was able to fix the recorder. But then even today, something was amiss.
Well, I was upstairs doing some things, and you were just down here like watching muted football. Looking at your fantasy scores, I'm like, you don't have it set up, because I know, like, even when it goes well, there's a lot of like sweating, frustration, there's a lot of chords. So now there's like an easy plug it in and go. I was like hoping to avoid all of that.
A lot of times, I'll be in the main room here of our house watching football, and you'll complain about being too loud. So then a lot of times I'm like, I don't really need to. I just want to see what the play is. I don't really need the commentary. So I put it on mute.
Well, I don't care that you're watching it. It's just I was hoping you would be set up. That this would be set up. So we've watched a lot of movies. So it used to be that, like, we would watch one movie and we would take copious notes. And then every little bit we would talk about. And then at some point a couple years ago, we got lazy. And we just are going to doing the loose recaps. But we've watched 7 new Hallmark Christmas movies, but you can't remember any of them.
No, like not off the top of my head. I couldn't tell you.
Like what comes to mind when you think about what we've watched?
The first one that comes to mind is the Amy Teagarden one.
Yeah.
She was the daughter on Friday Night Lights.
And she's been in another. She's a Hallmark alum.
And I do remember liking that one. I can't. You'd have to refresh my memory to. Oh, the family,
yeah.
The adoption.
She like worked for like a fostering nonprofit in New York. Works for a nonprofit in New York and has a huge apartment.
Yeah.
And alone. And she has a dog, and she has like a nosy neighbor, like a very Rhoda type neighbor that's her friend. And she works to like place foster children in homes. And so it turns out she'd like done a DNA kit, and she finds her, and it comes up the results that they found a match for her biological father, and
an hour away.
Yeah. So she messages him like on Facebook or something, like she finds him on Facebook, and then they meet up, and then she ends up spending Christmas with his family in Connecticut.
She's kind, you know, she obviously doesn't have a family. So as she's spending her Christmas with this new family, her, you know, what she thinks is her new family, she's having a great time, and she loves all these people, you know, her new dad and all the people around them. And then she also has a romantic interest in this town.
Yeah.
But in the middle of it, she gets a call from the DNA service.
She gets a voicemail. Sure, a voicemail is left from, yeah, the DNA testing company, that her results were wrong. And so it really wasn't her father, but then it was her father.
Yeah.
There was never any explanation. Like, the DNA people said it wasn't her father, but her father, played by James Tupper from Men in Trees, he had a picture of her mom, like, proving. Right. So they like knew that they were related.
Yeah.
But there was never any, like, resolution with the DNA company.
Shoddy DNA company.
Yeah. And the, like, the love interest, they had to figure out how to, like, insert a love interest into it. So it's like a friend of the family picks her, like, gives her a ride.
But I thought this was a good one.
It was a good one. Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, it wraps up the dad finds the old photo.
So that one's called My Christmas Family Tree.
Well, he took the same DNA tester.
Yeah.
He got a notification that he was a match, and he had to explain to his new family that, you know,
his very grumpy children,
how this all came about. You think that he would have looked for the picture right away.
He was looking for it like the whole time she was there, though, and he couldn't find it. So
I'm not as troubled by that. I would have looked harder. And there's some names that, like, you know, her name was Patricia, but he called her Trish.
Yeah.
There were some roadblocks that I would be questioning. Like, all of a sudden, you're welcoming this new girl into the family. I'd be a little bit more off-put-ish.
It was a good one, and it checked all the, like, you know, going ice skating inside, and there's a big inflatable Santa.
During a montage. I believe there was.
Yeah. Do they go to a market? It's all blending together.
See, I can remember them. And then I remember, that's about all I remember. Was that the last one we watched?
Yeah. We've kind of fallen off a bit in the past couple of weeks. All we do is watch Get Back.
We just sit on the sofa.
You can't, like, move. You can't blink. You just have to watch Get Back for hours. It never ends.
I think somehow Get Back is longer than the Beatles were together. I don't know how that could happen, but it's so long. But it's great. I mean, I like it.
Very normal for a TV show to have an episode that's 2 hours and 53 minutes long.
I know, like, when we started, I was like, yeah, yesterday we started, like, at 8 o'clock, and I'm like, oh, you know, this will be fine. It'll be over by, like, 9:30, and I look at 2 hours and 56 minutes. I'm like, this is not going to end until, like, 11?
It's a choice to say, this is just going to be three parts, but they're going to be 3 hours long each.
I mean, I understand that the Beatles are a fascinating subject, and it is fascinating to watch them do really nothing. And, well, like you said, that there's a lot of nothing and a lot of everything that happens.
It's nothing and everything at the same time.
Yeah. But I'm fine just watching, like, George Harrison sitting on a chair noodling guitar for an hour and a half. I'm perfectly fine with that.
I think the music is the most boring part. When they're, like, I don't know. It's boring when they're just sitting around in a circle talking to him. But it's good.
That's all it is.
You know, but you know when they sit in the small circle with, like, the like other people.
I find it all.
They eat a lot of toast.
A lot of toast and tea. They have a lot of, like, tea with cream.
Well, it's 8 hours long. But I was reading today that their first cut was 18 hours long. What are we missing?
Man, I enjoy it, and we will watch part three. We've gotten through two.
Yeah.
And there's, if we can tie this into Christmas, there are some really funny Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time memes related to Get Back.
We're supposed to go to the Botanic Garden tonight to see, like, the lightscape or whatever, which is supposed to be really amazing. And I said, all I really want to do is just stay home and watch the third part of Get Back.
I mean, it's a slog to get through, but we've come this far.
You have to. How does it turn out? What could happen? There's, like, a really dramatic part in the second part where it's like they have an idea for where the concert could be. Where? Never heard this.
It's just fascinating to me that the Beatles were essentially over at this point in their lives, and none of them are 30 yet.
Yeah.
And they go, when, like, because George Harrison,
they aged a lot in, like, 4 or 5 years, though.
This is a good look, though.
This is my favorite. The Dirty Beatles is my favorite.
This is each of them, I think, are, like, they're handsome in their own way.
Yeah.
Paul is obviously, you know, handsome. But John has a good look.
Yeah.
George has a good look. Even Ringo.
Yeah, Ringo's an acquired taste, but
he
looks a little blotchy. Speaking of musicians that don't get along, we also watched a movie called One December Night.
Which one was One December Night?
It's the one with Peter Gallagher.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and that guy that looks like a guy that would be in things.
Yeah,
and
that's on a Hallmark Movies and Mysteries.
Yeah.
When you get Peter Gallagher, you go Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Yeah, they're a musical duo, like a Simon and Garfunkel type, maybe.
I have no idea because they're younger than that. Though they would have been like an 80s duo, I think. I was confused about the timeline, but they had been like a super popular duo, like crazy popular. It was hard to believe. And they had fought a lot, and they lived in this little town, and people would come to this little town just to see, like, where the big red house was that they lived or something. And to save the big red house, they need this, like, reunion tour, but they can't agree. And so their children are producing it and are also falling in love, and
their children have kind of taken over the day-to-day operations,
and one of them has, like, dementia or Alzheimer's, and
one of the duo does.
Yes, that's like a huge plot point. The other guy, not Peter Gallagher, the other guy, he's forgetting everything, so that was, like, part of it too, was doing this last show.
Did they say that out loud?
Yes, it was like
Or like was it just implied?
No, that was a huge part of the movie. Because those were their two things. Like, one of them needed money, was broke, Peter Gallagher.
Yeah.
And the other one was forgetting, you know, about all of this. So.
And what happened at the end? They got together?
Did they had their concert, and they sang their hit One December Night.
Yeah.
Which was no hit.
I vaguely remember that one, and I seem to enjoy it. What happens a lot in these, and happens a lot in everything in our life, is that there's usually a point where I kind of doze off in the midst of the movie. Same with, like, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm. We'll sidle up on a Sunday night to watch Curb, but it's like 10:30, and I'm like, we got to wake up at 5. Why are we starting this at 10:30? And then you see a Curb is like 45 minutes. I'm like, why are these 45 minutes?
There's a girl in it. The daughter is this girl, Eloise Mumford, who's been in the Hallmark movies, and I like her. The other guy is Bruce Campbell, who's like in Evil Dead in those movies.
Yeah, that's who that was. Yeah. So did we not look him up before?
I guess not. I thought you did.
Yeah, I did look him up, and he wasn't...
Some star power in this one.
Are you sure that's him?
That's what it says.
Because I looked up his IMDb.
I'm on the IMDb.
And I
don't really know those movies, but yeah, I know his name. I know those was, movies yeah. from just like seeing him at Blockbuster or something.
I don't know him from Bubba Hotep. I do remember that when that movie came out, though. Bubba Hotep. Yeah, I mean, he's certainly familiar.
I can't really, like, I don't know who they are supposed to be. I mean, I guess like a Simon and Garfunkel, but they seem too young for that. Yeah, it was not convincing that they were actually a really popular duo, and their songs were not good. But but it was an enjoyable one. We started out with a couple of clunkers, You, Me, and the Christmas Trees, which is Danica McKellar. Like, Christmas trees were dying, and she came to save them, and it was the tall guy who was in the one that was, like, where they were, like, Magnolia or whatever last year. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
And then we watched Boyfriends of Christmas Past, which is one we had high hopes for that didn't live up to our expectations.
Yeah, it was disappointing in the end.
She wasn't very likable, the lead, and there wasn't, like, chemistry between her and the other guy, and it just wasn't as... I don't know. She had, like, her friend from college who, you know, that's who she ends up with. And they'd obviously been in love with each other the whole time. And she has to, like, go, you know, she's, like, revisited by old boyfriends. And it helps her realize that she's really in love with this guy.
Right. I remember every time she would go to bed, she would get a new, like, starting from her first boyfriend and then her college boyfriend and her first work boyfriend. She would get, you know, visits from them at night. But then why was that happening?
Because... she was alone at Christmas again and something like that. But to go back to You, Me, and the Christmas Trees, there's a bit of controversy this year in that Candace Cameron Bure had posted some anti-vax stuff on Instagram, and some other Hallmark stars had liked her post. They hadn't said anything anti-vax, but they liked her post, and Danica McKellar was one of those people. So, yeah.
We started off with some controversy in that there's GAC.
Oh, yeah. So the guy who missed, I think it was 2 years ago, the Hallmark Channel had a commercial that featured like a same-sex couple getting married.
Right.
And this guy pulled it. And then he was fired. He was the president of the Hallmark Channel. He was fired. So then he went and bought the Great American Country Network or whatever. It's literally like channel 1300 something on our cable. And... he bought this because if Hallmark Channel is too diverse for you, if Hallmark Channel is too woke for you, come over here to us. And he stole a bunch of people from the Hallmark Channel and series and things like that. And so it is like the more conservative version of the Hallmark Channel, if that's possible.
Because I know, and I always want to, like, when we're like...
You always want to watch it. I'm like, no, we're not. No. No, why? You're not allowed
to. I just want to see what else they're... I want to see what they're offering. I want to see, you know, when I'm flipping channels and I... put on, I'm like, oh, here's another one we don't like. Then I go to Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Oh, here's another one that we don't like. I want to go for that, you know, that third option. And we haven't really watched any of, like, the Netflix ones yet.
There's streaming ones. There's Lifetime ones. There's Freeform. There's a lot of other channels. We don't need to mess with GAC. There's plenty of options. There's also like a long list of things that you need to get caught up on that aren't bad Christmas movies. So you don't need GAC in your life. We watched a really good one called Christmas Sale.
That involved a a boat.
Yeah. So where it's like about a boat Christmas competition or whatever, but also another one where you need to raise money to save a house.
Right. They needed to win you decorate the sailboat.
Yeah.
And then the winner wins like $25,000 somehow in the small town. And then that $25,000 would have gone to save the house.
Yeah. And this one also had a bit of star power in it too. Actually, we were, so there's
a bit of star. I don't remember any stars in this one. I think the term star.
Well, Terry O'Quinn is the father whose house needs to be saved. And he was on Lost.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right.
He's a known actor.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
There's a bit of crossover with people from the cult, the Nexium cult and Hallmark movies. Not with Hallmark movies, but with Battlestar Galactica. So there's a lot of actors from Battlestar, because of one person who's on Battlestar Galactica who's really high up in Nexium. She recruited other actors from her peers to join. And so I'm always looking up when there's like, and then, so there's, if we made like a Venn diagram, there's like a circle that's Nexium people. There's a circle that's Hallmark people, and in the middle is Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when a Battlestar Galactica person's on a Hallmark movie, I'm like, I have to look up to see if they were in the Nexium cult, because it's some of our like favorite people. And so Katie Sackhoff is the star of this one, who was one of the main people in Battlestar Galactica too. So it's her and her daughter. She's divorced. They come back to her little like Pacific Northwest boating town where there's still boats, even though it's winter. That seems weird, right?
I don't know. I think maybe in the Pacific Northwest, those boats stay.
So she comes back, and her mom had always like won this boat decorating competition, and so she's gonna hoping to win the money to save her dad's house. She's gonna decorate the boat, and with her like childhood best friend. There's some flashbacks, some good like 90s flashbacks to them, and good fashion and hair. Though they end up like realizing that they love each other and figure out how to like make it work, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, but that one was a good one.
Yeah.
That one out.
A Christmas Sale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we watched Gingerbread Miracle, which was where it was like, a like Mexican bakery, and it was, okay. So it was a Mexican bakery, and the man who owned it, and then his nephew that he raised, but who was not Hispanic at all, but he would like turn on an accent sometimes, and he could like cook. We just kept waiting for an explanation for why he was super white, but sort of seemed to be playing a Hispanic character.
Wasn't he adopted?
No, he was biologically the nephew, but he was adopted, but because his parents had died.
Oh, that's right.
Your theory was like he was adopted, and then it came up that he was adopted, but it wasn't that.
But he was adopted by the family. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one was decent, but it was a weird choice on their part that they had this opportunity to cast a Hispanic actor, and they cast the whitest guy they could find.
Well, that guy had some acting chops. I don't think there was anybody else out there.
No one could have done it.
Could have done the job that he did.
to go so quickly from being a corporate lawyer in New York to running a bakery. Being so convincing us. We attempted to watch one called Next Stop Christmas. There was another one we attempted to watch, which was the one, it was like Terry Hatcher and the guy from
Desperate Housewives, Jamie, whatever his name was, the guy from Chicago.
And so they were really billing it like, oh, this is such a great reunion. And we were like, oh, I don't think we've ever turned one off that fast. It was painful. I mean, these are all painful to some degree, but this was physically painful to watch this one. It was really bad.
That was painful. But I think for the most part,
they're enjoyable.
Because a lot of times I'll just put it on.
Yeah, but they're like enjoyable, but we're like, ugh. And this one, we were literally like, ugh. So what was so bad about that one? Oh, it was like her car broke down. She went to the grocery store and she couldn't like buy her groceries. It was just like, he was just going to work. I don't know. There was just something really bleak about it. And they were unlikable. And I'm just like, I can't. Like, it was like they lived, it was set in Chicago, and they lived like North Shore, like this affluent white suburb or whatever, but they were having trouble like paying for their kids' private school education was like the struggle in this one. I'm like, this is not, this is gross.
In most any show that we watch, you cut the cord early.
It's always a good decision. This was clear though to cut the cord on this.
Yeah, but
one.
I probably would have suffered through it.
Well, so I tried suffering through Next Stop Christmas, which is the one you were really excited about, and I think you fell asleep like 10 minutes into it, where it was Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson had cameos or small parts in it.
I was about that one, yeah, because we were seeing the promos for, you know, yeah, the Back to the Future reunion. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah. So it was like a girl who worked in New York who didn't want to go see her family because they were kind of a mess. But she gets like a train ticket to go home to Yonkers, which is weird. And then she gets on this like creepy Christopher Lloyd puts her on a train, but it's like where she goes back in time and that she finds out that she really loves the basic white guy that was her friend or something. And I couldn't like tell any of the people apart. And I was like, I kept watching like 10 minutes at a time of this one, hoping it got better. And I just eventually deleted it off the DVR.
And generally that's not you don't like the whimsy and fantasy.
No, I don't like magic, but I do like going back in time and seeing like how they recreate that era, though. Like there was that one, and it may have even been like a Lifetime one, where it was Shiri Appleby, and she goes back in time to like try to save her family or whatever, the similar thing. And that it was great, but I think it was just, I couldn't tell who was like the good guy or the bad guy. They were like too much the same. Neither were convincing of either way. I didn't really like her. I don't know. That one, I tried on that one more. Terry Hatcher was a no from
so
minute one.
Grading all these Hallmark movies, what would you say would be the can't miss? Or if you were going to pick three?
Just the first one that comes to mind is One Night, One December Night. Flawed, but I think it's a good watch
with Peter Gallagher and Bruce Campbell.
But I'd say Christmas Sale and A Family Christmas Tree are close seconds, tied for a close second.
And then forget about the others.
If Gingerbread Miracle's on, watch it.
And what else is coming up? Because
there's one that's Kimberly Paisley and Ashley Williams do a sister swap, and that one's like on maybe this next weekend. I'm excited for that. We have on the DVR that we haven't watched yet. So my favorite Hallmark movie of all time is Nine Lives of Christmas with Brandon Routh, Superman, and then the girl who's in a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And where it's the cat one, and they made a sequel this year.
A literal sequel.
Years ago is when that one is old.
Yeah.
And so then they made the sequel and called Nine Kittens of Christmas. So we need to watch.
We watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, but I couldn't figure out what was going
just
on.
Just good. We got a little taste.
And Brandon Routh kind of looked old.
I really haven't, you know, we're just coming off Thanksgiving, where I had to catch up on all my Thanksgiving shows.
Yep.
So I haven't really even looked into all the, you know, Netflix, Hulu, other options.
There's a new Princess Switch.
Are the Moodies back?
No. You remember they had a regular season and they're done.
Yeah, that was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
When all the, you know, like, here's the 75 movies that are coming out for the holiday season. I looked through them and I was like, oh yeah, I want to watch this. I want to watch this.
But sometimes it's overwhelming and you just have to be like, what's on now? This is good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. But, I mean, we're getting a late start here, so we got to... I mean, I know we...
I think that's why we stick to Hallmark, is because when you expand to it, it's just too much beyond that.
Sometimes that the Hallmark movies aren't as good.
I'm familiar with the language of the Hallmark movies, the rules of the Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
I feel like also, too, this year, they seem to be more naturally diverse. It's not as forced.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And, there's like the Christmas House that was like the same-sex couple, and there's another one of those with Jonathan Bennett.
Because like our TV has kind of been tied up in that Mondays are Dancing with the Stars for 4 hours.
That's done now.
Tuesdays are Bachelor.
Yeah, that continues.
The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
For 4 hours. Then Wednesday, we finally get around to watching Curb or something. That was ours.
But we've also been watching like Texas Tech basketball, Bulls basketball.
Yeah.
Footballs, stuff like that too. I know, we're... Beatles for hours. There's just not enough hours in the day.
You know what I was thinking of as I was preparing for like all my Christmas watching? You know, like you always hassle me for liking the same, you know, like Thanksgiving episodes, like The Friends and How I Met Your Mothers and The West Wings and stuff. And I get excited when, you know, there's a new holiday TV show to enter the canon. Because last year, I think we watched the Schitt's Creek Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was excited that to add this year the Ted Lasso.
Oh, no.
Christmas episode will be added to the Christmas canon.
We are a Ted Lasso house divided. I forgot about Ted. It was nice. Like, we got to a point where I was going to have instead of a swearing jar, a Ted Lasso jar, where every time you talked about Ted Lasso, you put $5 in. We could have gone to Europe with that money this Christmas. But you haven't been talking about it, and I forgot about it.
Whenever I, like, need to tell you, like, some bad news or something that, like, I'm scared to tell you, I always preface it by saying, like, oh, you know what? You know, that last episode of Ted Lasso, and then you totally check out so that I can tell you all the bad stuff.
I know I'm the Ted Lasso villain, though, because everybody, I know people who are listening to this are gonna be like, everybody loves Ted Lasso. I love Ted Lasso. How can you not love Ted Lasso? I don't know. I just don't. I don't like it.
I think it's interesting. I think it was that way in the first season. I think that you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who hated Ted Lasso, and I don't know if that had to do with the pandemic. It came out during the pandemic, and people were just looking for like a nice, uplifting show to get them through. Because I feel the second season got a lot more criticism, that there were more people that were outspoken about not liking it. So you're definitely not the only one.
I'm sorry, I just don't like it. What can I say?
I'll watch that Christmas episode alone, much as I do every. I had to like watch Shibboleth, The West Wing on the train.
Where it should be watched. Well, like I wanted to like Ted Lasso, but I don't like any of those Bill Lawrence shows, and right. You love them, and we just have to. There's things I like that you don't like, so you just have to agree to disagree on the Ted Lasso. But I watched it, like I tried watching it, and I was like, this is like something that comes on like for free on an airplane. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna try again. And so I was on the elliptical at the gym, and I was having, this was like my back was hurting, I was having to do elliptical all the time and like wear a mask, and it was miserable. And I'm like, I'm gonna watch Ted Lasso, and I was like, I hate this. Well, it made it so much worse.
Yeah, you need to be in the proper frame of mind. You can't be in a, you're already a negative.
Don't watch Ted Lasso. So good.
It is good. But
I know, I'm sure it is. There's a reason why everybody loves it. I just personally
don't love
it. I
think it won an Emmy or two.
I just personally don't love it. Yeah. I know I'm on the wrong side of history of this. Just let me be. don't make me watch
it. And to be honest, it does remind me very much of Scrubs, which I loved, but also a lot of times during Scrubs, I kind of cringed a bit. Yeah. Like there was some kind of corniness or, you know, something that like, wow, why'd they have them do this, you know? But then like usually by the end, you know, they wrap it up really well with something emotional. And I did feel like the Christmas episode was a little bit corny.
You made me watch it.
I did make you watch it.
It wasn't even Christmas, and I was I'm miserable.
Maybe my criticism of it was because I think we were watching it at the same time. I don't think I had watched it yet. Like I was excited that like, oh my god, Ted Lasso has a Christmas episode. Let's watch this, and you reluctantly gave in to my wishes.
My energy was bad.
And your energy was bad.
You.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, it's like when you go to a concert and you bring a friend, you can't concentrate on the concert because you're just worrying about if the friend likes it. All I was thinking about was, I hope Molly likes this. Oh, this is good. I think she'll like this. Oh, this is good. And then there's a couple of times where I'm like, ooh, she is not. I know she's not liking this at all. And in the end, when they sing, Ted Lasso kind of hams it up a little bit. There's others. There's other shows for us to watch. So then next episode, we'll watch a couple. We'll finish the Beatles. By our next recording session, we'll finish the Beatles Part 3. That'll take us another 6 hours. And then we'll watch The Kittens.
Yep.
And then we'll see whatever else there is.
We've got a jam-packed DVR with Hallmark movies.
You may have noticed the lack of production value in this particular podcast. It's because this is a podcast, and we can't, you know, we'd have our theme song.
Yeah.
And then we'd have an ending song, like the Ted Lasso theme. I probably would have stung on the end of this thing. But since it's a podcast, it's going to be dry. Dry.
We can't play a Beatles song. Is that allowed? That's probably cheap.
No, not to go back to the Beatles, but you know who the best Beatle is?
Who's the best Beatle? Billy Preston?
Billy Preston. Billy Preston is the best Beatle. And I know in part two, they all
want... He has so much fun. He doesn't have any... He's a Beatle without the baggage.
And I know they want... Like, John was like, let's just have the fifth Beatle. Let's just get him on.
Then I read something today that was like, the fifth Beatle in 1969 was heroin. And that was a bummer.
I know. I guess I didn't really... It makes sense that John was having some...
I was like, what's the deal with John? Like, sometimes he's, like, half asleep, and sometimes he's, like, really animated. I'm like, he seems really immature. He seems really, like, there's two different versions of him, and then... And, I mean, I guess, like, I was just thinking it was drugs, but I wasn't thinking it was as extreme as heroin, and it was heroin. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this really explains some things.
I should have paid attention to all those Breakfast with the Beatles, Terry Hemmert. I would have maybe known that part of the Let It Be process.
I know, because sometimes I think, like, oh, we don't know enough about the Beatles to be watching this. We're not big enough Beatles fans. We don't deserve to be watching this. But I feel like we can just enjoy it for what
I love the Beatles. We know.
You know, I like that George Harrison matches his socks to his turtlenecks, and when he puts, like, the bow tie on under his shirt, and he's my favorite style. Lots of good vests, lots of good, like... shaggy coats.
Yeah, there's some good looks. Yeah, some good shaggy coats.
I was like looking at vests online this morning. I needed to go running, and I'm like, menswear vests. Do I need this?
I think we're the perfectly normal amount of Beatle fan. I think the Beatles fans tend to run in the crazy, obsessive Beatle fandom.
Yeah.
And then people who don't really just care about the Beatles, but then people like us who are like, the Beatles are great. Who doesn't like the Beatles? But like, I couldn't tell you, you know, the track listing of the original pressing of Hard Day's Night or whatever, you know?
Well, and like my best friend growing up was a really big Beatles fan. And so we would watch all of those like early movies all the time. And so I feel like I'm familiar more with that, with like the early mid era, more than the late era, but I'm more fascinated by the late
era. Because up until this point, I think the only really time that we've talked about the Beatles is when we talk about It's a Wonderful Christmas Time, the Paul McCartney Christmas, what you think is a classic, and I think is a horrible song.
I think it's my Ted Lasso.
I think that's like really the only time the Beatles, like any of the Beatles, have come up in one of our conversations. Unless like when Paul McCartney was on with Howard Stern or something, like we would talk about it. But other than that, we don't. And we have some Beatles records, which your dad owned. I was thinking, were they like original?
Yeah.
Like original copies of those Beatles?
Yeah.
Are they worth anything?
I don't know. I see Beatles records all the time. So I think there were just like so many
made
like and bought
I guess they were pretty popular.
No, I feel like you see popular. You see Beatles records, you always see like a stacked
for not
Beatles
that,
section
for that, yeah, for not that much.
Yeah,
all right, we gotta stop talking about the Beatles.
More of a Beatles podcast than a Christmas movie podcast.
I guess the next time we do a podcast, we have to watch 7 hours of Hallmark movies right before we do it, as opposed to 7 hours of
we have to find a Hallmark movie that's 3 hours long with no commercials.
They should do a documentary on the making of One December Night.
A documentary about making a Hallmark movie that needs to get made before another Hallmark movie comes into that space to make it. Then they realize they're not going to get it done, so they have to move that Hallmark movie to a different part of Canada to get it done. There's a lot of fighting.
Yeah.
Allison Sweeney's doing heroin. Luke McFarlane gets mad because his ideas aren't respected.
All right. Well, then we'll chat with you in a week or so. Hopefully we'll have... less Beatles, more Hallmark. I'm gonna investigate the Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus.
Maybe you need to watch a GAC on your phone on the way home and
Tubi.
I don't think Tubi exists anymore.
Oh, it doesn't. And see what their offerings are. I won't do GAC. I agree with you. We should support
support progressive companies like Hallmark instead.
All right. Talk to you later.